Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back, everybody. Today I'm joined by my co-host Kyle, and we're just going to go over just our reactions to the new Atlanta Falcon, Bijan Robinson.
Well, I saw a lot of people hating on it. So we're going to try to get Falcons fans in a state where they get into that state where they find out why this is a good addition, why it's addition that's solid for the team, and why they should like this addition. I know it's not the edge rusher everyone wanted, but I feel it's a great pick for the Falcons, even though it's not a position of big need. It does help improve the Falcons. And at the Falcons position, all they need is to try to find players that help them improve the roster as much as they can.
And also, too, we just took a player you can't miss on. You know, everyone's talking about Bijan as being the best player in the draft, potentially. We got them an eight. As much as, you know, it pains me to watch Nolan Smith go, that was my guy. As much as it pains me to watch him go to the Eagles at 30, it was pretty clear Bijan, as far as talent-wise, the NFL saw him as a much higher commodity. And that got proven by Jahmyr Gibbs going four picks later.
100%. I feel like he's got the potential to be a top five running back in the league. And it wouldn't surprise me or shock me at all if he earns the starting job and ends up lining up next to Ridder when you start the games out. Obviously, most people still expect Algier to be the starting running back, but he's got the talent to be that first back, and they split carries and have this two-headed monster, one guy with this insane speed and power combination and another guy that's mostly a power back. And then you have like a Cordero Patterson coming off that's a receiving threat, more elusive type back who has a little bit of power and shiftiness, has a kick return value. And then you also have the two other running backs, Avery Williams, the speedy back who helps on special teams, Caleb Huntley, the power back who can get you a yard or two here when he comes in short down in situations. So I really love this running back room, and I felt like we needed one more good running back. I didn't think we needed a superstar running back, but I think it definitely helps to have another guy who can take like half of Algier's snaps and help prevent injury at a position with a very short lifespan.
And let me talk about this too. We talk about Bijan Robinson. I've been saying this all this whole offseason. Bijan Robinson is a top three wide receiver in this draft class. So we're bringing in a guy. We're not just bringing in a running back. We're bringing in an offensive skilled player, right? We're bringing in an offensive superstar. Bijan's going to line up in the slot for us sometimes. Bijan's going to move all over. We can literally play some positionless football with Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson, moving them all over the field. That's going to put so much stress on our defense. We are going to look like we're lining up in with a running formation, and we're going to go out and go spread because we've got the talent that can do that. This team, if done correctly, which I think that's the goal, is going to put going to strike some fear into the hearts of defenses. How are you going to stop all of these guys? Desmond, you want to help your second year quarterback? It doesn't matter. Go out and get a positionless player in Bijan Robinson, who's one of the top talents in the draft. And you know, you can't stress enough the character part of it. He's mature. He's got an incredible work ethic, and he's just a great person all around. And this is a pick that I know we talk about positional value, and it's not the running back. If done right, and also a couple things, if done right, it doesn't matter that he's a running back because he's more than just a running back. Look what Christian McCaffrey and Saquon do for their teams. Saquon Barkley.
He definitely could be that difference maker. He's in my opinion, the third best slot receiver type. With only Josh Downs and JSN being better, And you had a good post earlier this year during the draft cycle that showed some numbers that compared him were similar to Deebo Samuel, which if you look at Deebo Samuel, he's like half running back, freak of a wide receiver. But Bijan is a better running back. He's more powerful. But to have the same like speed characteristics and the ability to catch out of the backfield is just huge. Because with the Falcons, they don't have a loaded wide receiver room. And if you can get a running back who can take some pressure off Algier, fill some of those wide receiver snaps that you need depth at, that's a great get. And for anyone who's mad about it, I don't know why you're mad. You're getting one of the best talents in the draft by far. And this guy's like a home run. You can't go wrong with him because he legitimately is got everything you need in a running back. He's got the speed. He's got the power. I don't think he has really a big weakness anywhere.
And his contact balance is insane, which is one of the most important things for running backs.
100%.
And also, too, like you talk about Tyler Algier, this is only going to help Tyler Algier. This will prevent us from kind of treading his tires too much. He's going to be able to get breaks, and we're going to be totally fine. We're not going to be able to ride. We're not going to have to ride him into the dirt. Either one of these guys, if done right, we can improve the longevity of our running back.
Edge and D line class shook out. Some of the picks made the edge class fall. Like you still have a Keon White on the board. You still got some quality edge guys on the board and some quality guys at other positions, quality tight ends like Darnell Washington. So the board's shaken out well to where you can get a quality guy. In my opinion, you have to take a edge next round if there's a guy you like there. Mm-hmm. But if not, maybe you have to boot it to the third round. Yeah. But that's this okay.
This is a deep edge class. You know,
it's really just take the best guy. Take the guy who gives you the best chance to improve your odds to win one, maybe two more games. And if they felt that way with Robinson, which I think they did, it's the right move. And I personally love it. I wasn't sold on it early in the draft cycle, but him slowly becoming on the board and me watching more tape, getting a closer look at him and seeing him just be this absolute menace of a running back. And being tough to tackle and just like a running back like Derrick Henry, like a guy who's like unstoppable. You can barely take him down, hard to get on the ground. There's not many running backs that I can say look like as dominant as him and like a Derrick Henry when they're in college.
Yeah, and more than that, right? Because he has the receiving, he's the guy, the receiving skills like a Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, like he has that kind of receiving skill set. So I'm excited for Bijan. Welcome to Atlanta. We're pumped to have you. And remember, guys, he's not same thing like Kyle Pitts. He's not just a tight end. He's not just running back. These are offensive weapons that are going to put a lot of stress on defenses.
100%.
Anything else about him that you want to talk about, or should we kind of jump into the best available guys and where you would like?
We should talk about who had the best draft day and some of the surprises. I'll start with one of my surprises. My surprise was when Houston took C.J. Stroud at 3-2, then traded right back up to the very next pick at 3, and took Will Anderson. That was surprising. Draft day was Philly when they took Jalen Carter at 9 and then Nolan Smith at 30. I think they won the first round.
The Philadelphia Bulldogs.
Yeah, for real. They have N'Kobe Dean on that defense, Jordan Davis. They're just taking talented guys on one of the best defenses and moving them over and saying, hey, these guys are NFL talents on an NFL-level defense at the college level. We're just going to move them over. And we know they have chemistry, so we don't have to worry about that. It's really, like, well done. Like, when I look at their plan, I see just one of the best plans in the NFL for drafting guys.
And going back to the Will Anderson trade-up, if you look at it, it was so well done by Houston, because if Houston had taken Willie Anderson first, there would have been so many more teams trying to trade up to grab CJ Stroud. By taking CJ Stroud at two, now you lessen the value of the third overall pick. So it makes it easier for you to trade up and grab a guy, Will Anderson, because I know a lot of people had been talking about, you know, Houston wanting to trade up and get a quarterback and Will Anderson, and talking about taking Will Anderson at two. This was so much better because you're eliminating the desire for trading up for a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, because Anthony Richardson is not that guy. As much as people want him to be that guy, he doesn't have the stats. He has the athletic traits, but he's never shown anywhere. And I've said constantly in this draft process, is the problem with him is he doesn't have touch on his passes. He slings it like a rocket launcher, and his receivers can't hold on to it because it's too hot coming at him, and it's basically uncatchable when you throw it that hard.
So going to my surprises, there are so many in this draft. Like, I don't even really know where to start. Devin Witherspoon at five, didn't see that coming. Seattle doesn't need a corner. I guess they could use a nickel guy, or maybe they could move him to safety. Obviously, we talked about, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs going at 12 to the Lions when they already have DeAndre Swift and the Bears running back Montgomery there. That was a shocker. Will McDonald going at 15. Emmanuel Forbes, the skinny corner, going ahead of Christian Gonzalez to Washington. Like, there
that
was just,
wasn't as surprising to me.
Really? Emmanuel Forbes,
because he'd been trending towards the first round. I didn't know he'd go that high.
He'd go over Christian Gonzalez.
I was thinking like 20s maybe, but it wasn't surprising that he was in the first round. It was just mainly surprising how high in the first round he went.
But not only how high he went, and also how much Christian Gonzalez fell.
Because Christian Gonzalez was right after him, the very next pick.
Yep, and Joey Porter still available.
The Patriots. What a move by the Patriots, getting him at 17.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone and their mother thought he'd be gone by 8.
Yeah.
If not including the Falcons.
Including me.
It'd be a team before him. So I don't know how he was still there. That's just insane to me. But there were so many surprising. It looked like at the beginning that it was going to be a bunch of trades, because there was, I believe, two trades early on, and then it looked like it might be a couple more trades, because there was like Cardinals trading up to the 6th pick, Texans trading up to the 3rd pick, and I thought there might be more picks, but I believe there was only one pick after that, and that was the Patriots trading 14 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers going and getting Broderick Jones, which is a great pick, because that's a guy we talked about at 8. We thought, oh, this is a guy, if we want to go offensive line, he can maybe push into guard and fill that starting guard spot. So there was a lot of surprises and a lot of good players that were taken after the Falcons picked.
And the move for Broderick, the trade-up, was definitely to get ahead of the Jets to make sure that they got their guy.
100%.
Yeah, what a wild. And then there's a bunch of trades in the back half. The Jags traded back twice with the Giants and then the Bills. So I guess it wasn't that many, but it was just those two with the Jags.
It like slowed down from the beginning, because the beginning it was like 10 trade pace.
Yeah.
To within the first 6 picks. So overall, a crazy draft so far. And it's kind of weird only seeing 31 names called. And we haven't even mentioned Will Levis not being selected in the first round. That was someone a lot of people were projecting top 10. I know it's probably not surprising for us.
Yeah.
Since I've said over and over, he's a day 3 guy. I'd put him as a 5th round talent.
Mm.
And he didn't go. So I guess the scouts and GMs are proving us right.
Mm-hmm.
They were right on our, what you call it.
So who left, if you have anybody? Who is like your top targets for Atlanta? We're picking 13 picks at pick 44. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the guys that you would love to see us grab there?
I definitely like Keon White.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's your guy you like, but that's probably the best guy.
Yeah.
And one I'd hope for most, but there's plenty of guys. There's an Isaiah Forstley. Did I say that right? I believe he's from Notre Dame.
Oh, Foskey. Isaiah
Foskey.
Foskey,
yeah. The edge rusher. There's a Darnell Washington. I know we don't need a tight end, but in my opinion, he was a first round talent at tight end. He was my favorite tight end because of the blocking ability. The catch, he's good at one-handed catches. He's got great blocking ability. He's a team player.
If we draft Darnell Washington, we'll never play with more than one receiver on the field.
Yeah. Understandably, because we'd have three great tight ends that we'd have to play. So I don't think that happens. But if we did, if he's still there, that's a guy I like. If you're just talking about overall players and not talking about just, this positional need, do I think we should take him? Probably not. Because it probably doesn't fit what we need. Could we? Sure. Would I be mad if we took him? Not at all. For me, I'd be ecstatic if we took him. I'd be like, okay, we're just going to run a bunch of three tight end sets and be a heavy run team. And it just bolster our run game. Because he'll maul you if he blocks you. He constantly pancakes guys on the ground. So makes him a crazy fun player to watch. But overall, there's tons of guys. A ton of guys fell that weren't expected to go. There were some guys who got drafted earlier, like you mentioned, Will McDonald, Emmanuel Forbes. There's also, what's that quarterback? Brents.
Julius Brents, the corner.
Julius Brents from Kansas State. That's another good one to look at. But with cornerback, we seem pretty set. So that could be a position we just pass on and decide to go a different route. The Notre Dame edge rusher and Keon White would probably be my top two.
I think, and you got to look at, you got to look at just overall talent, right? Like Joey Porter Jr., the corner from Penn State, who people had mocked in the top 10 before, he's still available. You mentioned Keon White, Ede Obadar, I can't say his name right now, Odaware, the defensive end slash tackle out of Northwestern. I mean, he's a stud. He's an absolute freak. You got Derek Hall, Byron Young, Thule out of USC.
Osiris Torrance.
Yep, Osiris Torrance is there.
You got Joe Tippmann out of Wisconsin. There's overall a lot of guys that I would be fine with the Falcons taking at 44. We obviously were on the boat of taking Keon White at 44. In many of our mocks and talking about the draft going into it, we were like, take Nolan at 8, double dip, and get Keon White at 44. But in this scenario, it might be Falcons go single dip and just go higher round pick with Keon White like they did last year. They went skill position player, and then they went for
AK
edge rusher.
I also wouldn't be shocked to grab like Brian Branch. Brian Branch is still available. He's an absolute stud. So. And
I wouldn't mind any of these. Obviously,
Bijo
my opinion is hopefully they take an edge rusher.
Yeah.
If they don't take an edge rusher, I'm feeling kind of it doesn't make me feel as good about the draft so far. But if they take like an Osiris Torrance is probably my second guy, or I'd rather have O-line. I want someone in the trenches.
Yeah, I
don't
totally
want
agree.
Another skill position. I want them to wait till late day three, early day four for that.
I would love, a Tyler Steen or Matthew Bergeron here, two guys who I think can play guard. And again, this is something I've talked about for a while. Two guys that can play guard and can bump out to tackle once we, Jake Matthews isn't going to play forever. Caleb McGarry is on a 3-year deal. So two guys that can definitely bump out.
And also we got that guard position open. We haven't signed anyone like the Isaiah Wynn we've talked about that would be great signings to play guard. Or we haven't drafted anyone or had anyone come in to challenge for that position. Right now it's looking like it's just Hennessy and Dahlman in that middle. Like you can get away with one below average offensive lineman, but you can't get away with two. And it feels like if we had both of them in there, it'd be two slightly below average offensive linemen, which needs to change. So hopefully we bring someone in there to compete and help get them to where they need to be.
Yep, lots of good linemen, offensive and defensive linemen available. So I think we both agree the dream is Keon White, and then kind of whatever happens from there. You know, if he gets taken in the next 13 picks, or maybe we can trade up for him. But if not,
should we talk about third round guys?
Yeah, we could talk.
That's day two as well.
Yeah, we could talk about the third round. I probably, honestly, I would be all over it if I wasn't so tired. So he's definitely
yeah,
for sure.
I get it. I'll talk about a couple guys real quick.
Okay.
I'll talk about Jonathan Mingo, and I'll talk about what's his name? A.T. Perry. I know Daniel Fleck would be all over this. A.T. Perry, a skilled wide receiver. Obviously, we talked to Daniel Fleck, and he was giving us he was talking about his great route running and how he explains route running so well, and he has a great mental game. He made him sound amazing. He made him sound like a first round type talent with how much he talked well about him. So I really like A.T. Perry as like a slot receiver type third round pick. He's third to fourth round pick, but I'd love him at 75. I wouldn't be like, oh my God, this is the steal of the draft, but I'd be like, this is a quality pick at third round to be our probably third receiver, third, maybe fourth receiver, depending on what the Falcons do with Hollins and Mack. And obviously we know Drake London's going to be that wide receiver one, but then I'll bring up our favorite receiver, Mingo. Obviously Jonathan Mingo, he's been this big body receiver, good blocker. And I think at the very least I've said it over and over, he's a quality outside receiver who can get 200, maybe 300 yards receiving as a wide receiver three in year one, which is all the Falcons need at that position. So overall, I'm really excited for this team. I hope we can get an edge rusher.
My only qualm with taking a receiver at 75 is I feel like Bijan kind of fills that need also. So I would really like for us to wait until at least round four to grab another receiver. I mean, some of the guys that I'm just thinking about in round three, maybe if we don't go Brian Branch round two, maybe a guy like Sidney Brown, the Illinois safety, Jordan Battle, the safety out of Alabama, some of these offensive linemen that might fall, Steve Avila, who probably will go in the second round, but maybe, you know, maybe he's still there. There's still none of the centers have been taken. So maybe like Joe Tippmann will probably go, John Michael Schmitz will probably go, maybe Luke Whippler is there in the third round. And then, you know, a lot of these edge players, like there's still a lot of good ones. Byron Young, Derek Hall, Zach Harrison, Yaya Diaby. So just kind of depends on how the board falls. A lot of good cornerbacks, a lot of good linebackers still available.
You mentioned a safety in Sidney Brown. I wanted to mention Chris Smith, one of the smartest defensive players in this draft. He may not have the athletic tools, but he's a very smart, instinctual player, and he showed that at times at Georgia. He showed it in the SEC championship, having the IQ to see that a ball was blocked on a field goal and see that it was still alive and return it for a touchdown when the LSU players and most of his teammates weren't aware that the ball was live. So he's got the IQ, and he's probably one of the smartest defenders. He always knows what's going on the field, even though he doesn't have that crazy speed, more of like a 4-5 corner and just average traits. But his instincts and football IQ are through the roof.
You know, there's still a lot of corners on the board. Tyreek Stevenson, Joey Porter Jr., Julius Brents, DJ Turner, Cam Smith, Kelee Ringo, you know, Darius Rush, any of those guys fall to third. Like, I'm totally down for that. So
100%.
Lots of talent on the board still.
And we'll probably be doing this again tomorrow night, recapping it again. Yeah. So we're going to be a bit sleep deprived the next couple days.
But
it'll be fine. It's for the content.
For sure. And again, welcome to Atlanta, Bijan. We're pumped to have you.
And if you're just tuning into the podcast for the first time, we appreciate you. And we hope you'll tune in again. We're trying to make this podcast better and better. So your support goes a long way in improving the podcast.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons_drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.